If you will, please, to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18. Appreciate the fellowship here and all the good food this morning. If you fixed food, everything was just very, very good. Very good. Book of 1 Kings talks about, what do you think? There you go. Got a smart group here. Kings. And during this time, in chapters 17 and 18, we read of a king by the name of Ahab. And the Bible says that Ahab was an evil king. Ahab had sought after other gods and had a wicked wife as well. And we see that because the kingdom of Ahab had sought after false gods, God had sent a famine in the land. And here in chapter number 18 is where God had raised up Elijah, and he went to Ahab, and he meets Ahab in a field. And starting in verse number 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Because remember now, during that time, God had caused it not to rain 3.5 years in the land of Israel. That's why there was a famine. They didn't seek God. They saw other gods. They went seeking after the things of the world. Therefore, God gave them a judgment. The judgment was famine. And here, Ahab says to Elijah, "Are you the one that's troubling me and my nation?" Verse number 18, he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." See, I like that. It's not Elijah that did these things, even though Elijah was the one that called upon God and asked for the ceasing of rain. It still was not Elijah. It was God that had sent it, right? Verse number 19, the Bible says, "Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table," which is Ahab's wife. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together into the Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long ought ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. So here we got Elijah sticking his finger in the face of these people saying, "Which God are you going to serve?" See, it's a good thing if you serve Jehovah God, but it's a bad thing if you serve him in addition to other gods. See, that's the problem with most people these days. Even people in a good Bible-believing church, they have God, they worship Jesus Christ, they have trusted him as their Savior, but yet they also worship everything else. And they wonder why God is not blessing them. Hello? All right, maybe God might be speaking to our heart this evening, okay? So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, verse number 20, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long will you be between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered not a word, okay? Verse 22, "Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one god for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." So here we see a confrontation that is taking place, and Elijah is basically calling them out. Hey, if your God is going to be the God, let him answer and let him take the sacrifice that's already been laid on the altar, and consume the sacrifices that you've laid out. But I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to lay up the altars. I'm going to have the same exact sacrifice you do. And we're going to see which God calls out true and living fire. And the true God, you need to worship. And the false gods, you need to forsake. So this evening, I'm going to preach a message to you just for the next couple of minutes entitled, Can You Feel the Heat? Can you feel the heat? I want you, and I'm hoping as you are reading through this with me, that you were amongst the group, not with the 450 prophets of Baal, may I remind you, but just in the midst of everything. And you can see the altars being laid, and just the intensity that's there. And as we get ready to read some more, I hope that you can feel and see everything that's going, and then I hope whenever the true fire does come, you can feel the heat. Father, we turn this time over to you. I pray as we drew the circles this morning around our individual selves that we would do the same thing again. Lord, speak to our hearts, for we see that it only takes one person that's dedicated, as the pastor just got finished saying, dedicated to doing your work. They don't need the ability, they just need the availability to allow God to be to use them for His honor and His glory. We ask these things, and we ask you to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you feel the heat? Whenever you have a fire, you can feel the heat, can't you? Especially a big blazing fire. I can remember as a child, we used to go camping all the time. And sometimes we would go camping in the middle of June and July and August. I mean, the hot months. And I mean, it doesn't really get hot up here, I don't think. It gets a lot hotter down where we live. And I mean, 105, 110 degrees. And I mean, the humidity is just through the roof. And still at night, even though it's like 90, 95 degrees, we still have a fire. We would go camping at times when it would be like 30-some degrees. And you can really feel the heat. I can remember times that we would go camping up at my uncle's house. He had a huge piece of property, and we would build a big bonfire, probably a little bit bigger than what it should be, and we're talking about the heat. Whenever you have a fire, you can feel the heat. This evening, I want to know, can you feel the fire? Number one, I want you to answer in your heart this evening, can you feel the heat from the power from the Lord? Can you feel the heat from the power from the Lord? Let's read on. Verse number 25, the Bible says, and Elijah said it to the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put their fire under it. So dress it all up, make sure everything's all ready in it, but call on your gods and see if it'll send fire. Verse number 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning to evening, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and cried, saying aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or poor wretched, he sleepeth and must be awaked. It's kind of funny here. Elijah jumps up on the altar and says, listen, if you're calling on the Baal, yeah, he's a god, but he must be busy. Right? I mean, we have probably a good 70 or 80 people here this evening, I would imagine. And couldn't you imagine if every single one of us would call one person? Let's just say, for instance, every one of us in the next 5 minutes is going to call Pastor Fee, Mister. And couldn't you imagine how busy he would be? He couldn't answer everything. And that's what Elijah was saying. Hey, your God must be busy. Either he's out on a journey, or he's sleeping, or something, but he's not answering you. I thought it was kind of funny myself. But the humor of things turns into tragedy. Because look at verse number 28. The Bible says, and they cried aloud, and look at what they did next. And they cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed upon them. Wow. Let me just say this this evening. It's a little free tidbit. If you know somebody that's cutting themselves, that is a sure sign of demonism. Young people, let me tell you something. If you're cutting yourself, that's demonism. You need to get right with God and ask for repentance and get on and serve God. Why? Because the devil will make you cut yourself. And the devil is a loser. And you know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to turn you into a loser. Right? And all the older people are saying, yeah, that's right. And you may say, well, they're just brainwashed, they're set in their ways. No, these people, including myself, have walked in your shoes. We've been in your situation. We got a young man back here this evening that just lost his best friend just a couple days ago, just buried him, and he can testify that the ways of the devil are foolishness and they're not any good. And that's what Elijah was trying to say. Hey, you're called out to a false god, and what they did, the measures were drastic, and they began to cut themselves. And then the Bible says here that there was verse number 29, it came to pass, midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time, the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. You know what that tells me? That tells me this: I believe in other gods. I believe that there's a devil. I believe that he has angels. And I believe with all my heart, if you pray to him with your heart, that he will answer you. I believe that. And if you don't, you need to wake up and realize that God is not the only God that's out there. He's the true living God. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing God. But yet there are other gods out there that, as you and I sit here this evening in Carver, Massachusetts, there are people right now that can walk outside in the bluest sky and call out a stick of lightning from the sky. We got people that are walking on fire. Why? Because they are possessed by the devil. But here, these people, I don't believe, even believed in their gods. They just worshiped them. Why? Because they didn't even get an answer. They didn't get an answer. But here, I want you to see verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto all, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto him the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And when the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you this. How many people are paying attention this evening? Not too many preachers ask that, do they? All right, good. You're paying attention. But now let me ask you this. Well, we just read about the trench. Did you read that anywhere else in this passage of Scripture that we've been reading? Elijah told him to take the sacrifice, to dress it, and to lay it on the altar. Do you remember hearing him say anything about a trench? Okay, in case you're paying attention, the answer is no. Okay? Why? Why this trench? What else is going to happen? Verse 32, and with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as contained 2 measures of seed. Verse 33, and he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid them on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. Wait a minute here. This is not the poster boy for the Cub Scouts or the Boy Scouts. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because that's not rule number one whenever making a fire. Wetting everything with water. Okay? It's just not going to happen, right? But he didn't stop there, did he? And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time, and he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. Now, in case you're not a math magician here, 12 barrels of water. 12 barrels of water was poured on the altar. The same altar that we're trying to catch on fire. My question to you this evening is, can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? The Bible says, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. That trench was filled, so the whole sacrifice was literally running wet with water, and the trench was full. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again, and the fire of the Lord fell. And the fire of the Lord fell. Fire. Can you feel the heat? I want to ask you this evening, can you feel the heat from the power of the Lord? The power of the Lord does two things this evening. Number one, the power of the Lord, it defies man's law. Man's law says this: if you have water, there is no fire. If this building were to catch on fire this evening, the fire department is going to come and they are going to douse this entire building with water. What? To get rid of the fire. Not to start a fire, not to keep the fire burning, but to get rid of it. But let me tell you something this evening. The power of God defies the laws of man. The laws of man, nowadays, teaches you, well, if you have a child that's born without any arms and just a half a leg, we kill it. Come on. Kudos to the people in Congress that just banned the partial birth abortion. That just about made a guy with a half a leg stand up and applaud and say, at least we have some people in Congress that have a backbone that says, hey, it's murder. I don't care if it's only 6 inches of the body that's still inside the mother, and it's still murder. It defies the laws of man. But not only that, not only does it defy man's laws, number two, what it does is this: it defines the Messiah's Lord of cruelty. We know that reading through the Bible that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the one sent from God to die on the cross for the remission of our sins. And may I remind you this evening that we don't have to start a fire. We don't have to call fire from God to know that God is faithful. I want you to realize this evening that the Messiah is a loyal God. Verse number 38 says, Then the fire of the Lord fell. The faithfulness of the Messiah. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And God had already supplied the needs of Elijah in chapter 17. Whenever the famine came, nobody was eating. Whenever you have famine, whenever you have no water, you have no crops. Whenever you have no crops, you don't eat. I don't think back in those days you could just run to your cupboard and get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and make it. What do you guys think? What do you think, Brandon? You think Elijah can go and grab a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Just say no. Good. You gotta follow me carefully or I'm a loser, okay? Alright? I don't think that he could run down to the local Chinese joint and get something to eat, even though that does sound pretty good. Right? He had no food. God had told him, he said, run down the brook, by the brook Cherith, and the loyal God had sent the ravens, not the Baltimore ravens, but the ravens to feed Elijah. I'm from Baltimore, by the way, in case you didn't know that. To feed Elijah, to drop the water, and he said, you can drink from the brook Cherith. And then whenever the brook went dry, he said, I have a widow lady that has just one more meal, and she's planning on eating that meal and dying. Couldn't you imagine eating your last meal and saying, you know what, after this we're going to die? And that's what happened. Elijah was sent to this widow lady that had one son. She was going to make the food. And Elijah says, hey, wait a minute, man. Let me ask you this. Before you go in there, can you make me some food too? That's kind of weird, and I believe with all my heart that Elijah trusted in God, because if this dear lady here only had one more meal, I'd let her eat it, and I wouldn't. That'd be kind of rude to ask something from Simon like that. But he went up to her and he said, ma'am, can you fix me some food? Well, I don't have much. Oh, don't worry, because that little bit of a meal is going to last us for a long time. And what happened? And it did. God, the faithful God, had already supplied the needs of Elijah. And here again, he's supplying Elijah with the needs that he needed. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 8 says this, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You may say, well, as Pastor Ephemus said here just a couple minutes ago, I would preach, but I can't stand up in front of everybody. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you may always have all sufficiency in all things. God told Pastor Ephemus, you are fully sufficient because I'm the one that's got sufficiency. I'm the one calling you to do it. I'm wondering here this evening, how many people in this congregation is God calling you to do something? You say, God, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. How many people here this evening is God calling you to stand up against the 450 prophets of Baal? My friend, we're living in a nation that if you pull out a dollar bill and says, in God's trust, that's just about as far as we get. Just because you write it on money doesn't mean that you're actually doing it. I can write down on a piece of paper, I'm a millionaire, but just because I have it written on a piece of paper doesn't mean that I'm actually a millionaire. Just because I say, in God I trust, does not mean I am trusting in God. You have to set out and do it yourself. Not only can you feel the heat. Can you feel the heat? It's getting hot in here, ain't it? Can you feel the heat from the power of the Lord? Can you feel the heat from persecution from the lost? We talked about Joseph this morning and how Joseph was a holy man and how Joseph was loved by his father. But yet he felt persecution from the people that hated him. I'm talking to a group of people here this evening that is redeemed. They've been called out by the blood of the Lamb. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. And the Bible says the world hated you because they hate me first. If you associate yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be hated. And if you're not hated, then there's something wrong. Amen. If Elijah did not feel the heat coming from the prophets of Baal, that meant this. He was not facing the prophets of Baal. I'm not talking about going around running like a lunatic and saying, I'm a Christian, you need to shut your mouth. Right? Too many times Christians do look like idiots. I got a guy at my work, and he runs around going, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. You need to be a Christian too. Okay, that's fine if he's a Christian, but you know what? You don't have to run around telling people that you're a Christian. And I don't just believe in lifestyle evangelism. I believe that you ought to go out and personally and individually and confrontationally tell people about Christ. But even if you don't open your mouth, people ought to be able to tell you're a Christian. You shouldn't have to walk around saying, I'm a Christian, for people to know that you're a Christian. And in fact, if you walk around telling people I'm a Christian, chances are you might not be a Christian. Because what you're doing is you're drawing pride to yourself, and Jesus never did that. Not one time did I ever see Jesus go up and say, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Right? If you can feel the heat, you're feeling the heat from the power of the Lord, and you're feeling the heat from the persecution of the lost. The lost is not going to like you. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Why aren't we being loved by the world? Because we are of God and we are following him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Daniel felt the heat because he refused to stop praying to the Almighty God. The apostles felt the heat from the religious crowd because they were doing God's work. And in fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, they spoke out and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat this evening? I hope you can. Can you feel the heat? Lastly, well, number one, from the power of the Lord. Number two, from the persecution of the lost. And number three, more importantly, and I believe it's probably the most important thing, is this. Can you feel the heat that's being projected by the lake? Can you feel the heat being projected by the lake? The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Let me teach you something here. Brother, stand up for me. Now, I believe, yeah, come on up here. I believe that this man is saved. Okay, are you saved?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to just call you out on that one. Okay, this man is saved. But just for right now, just for the next 2 minutes, we're going to take your salvation from you. Even though technically we can't do that. Just for illustration, saying this man's lost, never been saved. Okay, the Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. If this man was lost and on his way to hell, you know what? He's just as good as being in hell. He is literally 1 second from the lake of fire. The Bible says in Revelation, and turn to Jude chapter 1 while I read Revelation. Jude chapter 1. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? If you can't feel the heat this evening, then you're not doing what God wants you to do. The Bible says in Jude chapter number 1, verse number 22, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." Do you have compassion this evening? If you have compassion, you can make a difference. In verse number 23, I want you to listen to this. "And others save with fear, pulling them" where? "Out of the fire." Do you mind standing here for me? Good. The Bible teaches us that it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means this, that it is God's will for each and every one of us to go to heaven whenever we die. And then not only that, it is not only God's will for you and I to go to heaven, but it is God's will for you and I to take His message out to those people that have never heard. Amen. And if you're not feeling it this evening, then you're not doing what God wants you to do. You see, God could have allowed the stars in the heavens to cry out the gospel message. God could have just had a lapel microphone and speak the message, and we could come in and just listen to the speakers. But yet God has ordained you and I with a responsibility. It's the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's not something that we ought to do if we feel like it. It's something that the Bible says that we ought to be doing fervently, that we ought to be doing every single day, going out and witnessing to people. Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? You know what happened with Elijah? I want you to look at verse number 30 in 1 Kings chapter number 18 again. Can you feel the heat? Good, because if you can feel the heat, you're going to stand right there, and hopefully you're going to have others join you here in a minute. Can you feel the heat? The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 30, "And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he did" what? "Repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." I'm not going to have you say anything verbally. But answer this question. Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? Because what's happened in our country is the same exact thing that happened when Ahab was king over Israel. The altars of God are being not only forsaken, but they're being broken down. Is your altar broken this evening? Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me. Come near unto me." What I want to do right now is, if your altar is broken, come to me. Come to me. Come on, who's going to say, "I need to rebuild the altar of God"? Come on, heads bowed, eyes closed. Am I looking around? You need to rebuild the altar of God. Come on. Come on, come to me. But you know what? They didn't come to Elijah, did they? Oh, yeah, they gathered where Elijah was. But yet they sought the power of God. Come to me. Is there anybody like that at all? Come to me. Come to me. We need to repair the altar of the Lord. So I'm going to ask you this. All the altars in here, there's nothing wrong with them, right? Everybody here can feel the heat? If you can't feel the heat, come on, come to me. Come to God. Don't come to this preacher. Come to God. Come on. Let's repair the altar of the Lord. So you're trying to tell me you witness to people. You pass out tracts. Come on. No matter what it is, come on. Can you feel the heat? The altars have been broken down. Elijah said in verse number 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, my Savior, my soul, let it be known this day that thou art God in my heart, and these people's hearts this evening, and that we are thy servants. We've done these things this evening in this message according to thy word. Pastor?
That's good. Let's all